RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Minister of Manpower to summon companies over plans to lay off workers. Indonesian people urged to raise awareness on the spread of Aedes aegypti. New ruling on foreign shares in insurance to be issued soon. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakiri will summon in a number of companies and verify if they indeed have any plans to lay off thousands of workers in the near future. The Minister for Manpower was not yet able to provide clarifications regarding plans to lay off workers of the energy companies Chevron, electronic firms Panasonic and Toshiba, and the automotive company Ford. The Minister for Manpower sat at the office of the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday that irrespective of the company's reasons to lay off their workers, the government would do its best to protect workers' rights and to seek best solutions to any problem. He said he could understand if the layoffs were on account of companies doing business in the energy sector, such as oil and gas, because the global price of oil is falling. In the meantime, the head of the Capital Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, Frankie Sibarani, said he had so far not received information about companies willing to sever work relations with workers due to business or operational difficulties. Chairman of Indonesian Association of General Medicine, Jakarta, Dr. Ari Fahrialsyam, on Wednesday in Jakarta, urged Indonesian people to increase awareness on Aedes aegypti mosquito spread. It was stated related to Zika virus outbreak hit some regions in America recently. According to him, Indonesia is currently facing extraordinary case that the amount of the mosquito is significantly increased. Therefore, the effort to combat the spread should be raised.
Beberapa kasus banyak kita temukan kejadian luar biasa.
There are several extraordinary cases happened that would affect to pregnant women around the area. So we prevent the virus to not spread widely in the community. The point is about the eradication of mosquito control. Furthermore, Ari Fahrialsyam said that the Zika virus has been discovered in Indonesia. There were at least 3 reports since its first discovery in 1981. Indonesian people, according to Ari, should increase awareness to the Aedes aegypti mosquito spread. Ari also urged pregnant women to immediately examine themselves if experiencing symptoms of viral infection. Earlier, the World Health Organization, WHO, has declared a public health emergency of international concern regarding Zika virus on some countries in South America. Meanwhile, the Health Ministry spokesperson, Oscar Primadi, said on Tuesday, the government will impose alert stages for Zika virus. According to Oscar, the Indonesian government imposes alert stages because there has been no case of Zika virus in Indonesia that causes death. There was one patient infected by Zika virus in 2014 in Jambi, but the patient recovered. He asked people not to be panicked. The government has stationed officers and health officers in port where foreigners come and go. The officers are also instructed to examine tourists from Zika-affected regions and tourists that showed Zika symptoms, such as fever. The government also told people to be careful toward the virus when they go to Zika-affected regions. Several prevention measures can be taken, such as putting on mosquito repellent or wearing long-sleeved clothing to avoid mosquito bites. According to Oscar, the government will focus more on wiping out mosquito nests. Circular letters have been sent to local governments regarding mosquito nests. Indonesia's Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, claimed in Jakarta on Tuesday that the Zika virus infection, which has spread rapidly in Latin America, was yet to be identified clearly in the archipelago. According to the agency's deputy head of the Agro-Industrial Technology and Biotechnology Division, Enia Listiana Dewi, the most common symptoms of the Zika virus infection are similar to those of malaria and the Aedes aegypti caused dengue fever. Listiana said her site still affirmed that the symptoms of the Zika virus infection are similar to those of malaria and the Aedes aegypti caused dengue fever. Therefore, the identification of this virus remains unclear. In coping with the threat of the Zika virus infection, the Health Ministry has warned related parties and society members to implement the 3M guidelines, which stand for burrowing, draining and covering, as well as the campaign to eradicate mosquitoes. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Financial Services Authority, OJK, will soon issue a regulation on foreign ownership in the country's insurance industry, as mandated by a revised law on insurance. OJK Commissioner for the Non-Banking Financial Industry, Firdaus Jelani, said in Jakarta, the upcoming government regulation would stipulate details about foreign ownership of insurance firms, which was unspecified in the 2014 law on insurance business that revised previous legislation. Legislators have called on the agency to lower the foreign ownership cap to 49% from the current 80%. But Firdaus said that no decision on the foreign ownership threshold had been made. As the new policy is under preparation, Firdaus said foreign shareholders in the insurance industry were currently still allowed to own stakes of up to 80% in accordance with 2008 government regulation on the insurance business. The OJK has already sent circular letters to the insurance companies with major foreign stakeholders informing them about the new foreign ownership cap. Indonesia's tourism industry rose faster than the global average of 4.4% last year. It was said by President Joko Widodo when opening a limited meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta on Tuesday to discuss a plan to develop Lake Toba as one of the country's main tourist destinations. Meanwhile, he said, average tourism growth in Southeast Asia only reached 6% last year. Data from the Central Statistics Agency, BPS, shows that the Indonesian tourism industry grew by 7.2% last year, well above the global average of 4.4%. Although the number of tourist arrivals in Indonesia last year exceeded the government's set target of 10 million, the Indonesian tourism industry performed better than that of neighboring Malaysia, which contracted 9.4% in the January to June 2015 period, and Singapore, which stagnated at 0% from January to December last year. Meanwhile, the Thai tourism industry grew 23% last year. The last item. Indonesia, the world's largest palm oil producer, has voiced out against a plan by the French government to impose progressive import taxes for palm oil starting from 2017, citing the move to be discriminating and unreasonable, a top government official has said. According to Arif Hafaz Ogroseno, a deputy in charge of maritime sovereignty at the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Natural Resources, the French Senate approved a biodiversity bill on January 21st that included a palm oil tax hike of €3,000 per ton in 2017 from what's currently €103 per ton, which would later increase annually to reach €900 per ton by 2020. The deputy, who recently met with the French ambassador in order to deliver the government's concerns, claimed the French government is giving unequal treatment to palm oil as it is imposing the regulation on rapeseed oil, sunflower oil, and soy oil that's produced there. According to Arif, the progressive tax would also show a backward move compared to the Amsterdam Declaration on Global Change, a pledge signed by France, the Netherlands, among other countries in 2002, to support sustainable palm oil that's environmentally friendly and without deforestation. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Minister of Manpower to summon companies over plans to lay off workers. Indonesian people urged to raise awareness on the spread of Aedes aegypti mosquito. New ruling on foreign shares insurance to be issued soon. That was the news.
This is commentary for today entitling International Health Emergency. The World Health Organization, WHO, on Monday, February 2nd, stated, the spread of Zika virus in South America is an international health emergency. Zika virus is suspected to be the cause of rising of microcephaly cases, a condition where the baby is born with a head and brain smaller than normal. Zika virus is transmitted by the Aedes aegypti mosquitoes, as well as dengue and chikungunya viruses. Since it was detected in Brazil in May 2015, the virus has spread to more than 20 countries. WHO Director General Margaret Chan said that coordinated international action is needed to improve disease detection and efforts to create a vaccine. However, according to Chan, travel ban is still needed. Apparently this time WHO does not want to be conceded. After last 2014, the world body was accused of late responding to the spread of the Ebola virus in West Africa. The virus caused more than 10,000 people killed. Since it was first discovered in 1947 in Uganda, Zika virus seems to be neglected because the only cause is mild fever and the symptoms disappear after a few days. Zika virus has now spread from Brazil to neighboring countries. However, as it is suspected to be the cause of disability of baby in the womb, the spread of this virus has caused global concern. Zika virus is also allegedly associated with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which can cause paralysis. The rapid spread of Zika virus associated with the number of Aedes aegypti mosquito and a low immune system to the people there. Up to now, there have been more than 4 million cases of Zika virus infection suspected to occur in South America. WHO Director General Margaret Chan also said the weather conditions triggered by the El Niño phenomenon have caused the easily spread of mosquitoes which carry the Zika virus. El Niño, according to the UN, can cause increasing variety of disease caused by mosquitoes, including dengue, chikungunya, and Zika. Global warming is not only the physical impact on the Earth. Climate change caused by warming also affects the creatures that inhabit the Earth. Microorganisms that uncontrollably multiply are one of the symptoms. The outbreak of the Ebola virus, bird flu, MERS, and Zika in one place may have global impact. In the world that is already interconnected, supported by global climate change, there's no longer a local outbreak. All countries around the world should prepare for a possible outbreak for disease, although it affects one country only. That is commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from an event on February 3, 1915, Suez Canal is attacked by Germany. On February 3, 1915, in the era of the World War I, the Suez Canal, when it was under the British rule, was attacked by German and Ottoman jointly forces. The strategic position of Suez Canal, which connects the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea, making it a contention object between the Allies and the Axis forces. England was worried about losing control over the Suez Canal because it would jeopardize its colonies in Asia, trying desperately to maintain the canal. Finally, the Allied forces of Germany and Ottoman defeat, and the canal continued to be under British rule until 1956, when it was nationalized by Egyptian president at that time, Gamal Abdel Nasser. On February 3, 1931, Napier earthquake tragedy in New South Wales. A national disaster resulted Napier become one of the purest art deco in the world. On February 3, 1931, a major earthquake with 7.9 on the Richter scale rocked Hawke's Bay for more than 3 minutes. Nearly 260 people were killed and most of the buildings in the commercial center of Napier were destroyed, either by the earthquake or the fire caused by earthquake. The rebuilding immediately and largely completed within 2 years. The new buildings reflect the architectural style of the period, such as strip classical style, Spanish mission, and Art Deco. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event of U.S. troops invaded Marshall Islands. On February 3, 1944, American troops invaded the Marshall Islands in the Pacific Ocean. The islands formerly under Japanese rule since 1914 in the World War era. The Treaty of Versailles that ended the World War I decided that the islands of originally occupied by Germany, including the Marshall Islands, Carolina, and Mariana, must be handed over to the Japanese under the supervision of the League of Nations. However, Japan came out from the League of Nations in 1933 and made the islands in the Pacific as military bases. During World War II, the islands have been targeted by Allied forces, and finally, on February 3rd, the Marshall Islands fell into the hands of the United States with the expense of the lives of approximately 400 U.S. soldiers. Listeners, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Welcome to Void Green. Today's edition entitled The United States Disburses Restoration Fund of Peat and Biogas. The United States government disbursed a total of $30 million US to assist peat restoration project and development of biogas power generation from palm oil mill waste. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert O. Blake, in his press conference in Jakarta on Monday, said, the United States government fully supports Indonesia to achieve emission reduction targets with extensive assistance. He said the first initiative is Berbak Green Prosperity Project, worth $17 million US, which will help to restore the hydrology of peat swamp forest in Jambi province. Restoration of the system will help reduce the prevalence of peat fires in the area. Berbak Project, Blake said,
will also provide training to improve local agricultural production and facilitate certification of small oil palm farmers and renewable energy systems from society-based palm oil meal waste. The second initiative, he added, in the form of agreement worth $13 million with three palm oil mills in Rio Province for biogas power plant that uses palm oil meal waste, in addition to help small farmers in each factory supply base, in order to obtain certification of global standard for sustainable palm oil production or the round table and sustainable palm oil. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert Blake hoped that the project can generate 3 megawatts of renewable energy from biogas, equivalent to the electricity supplied to 9,000 homes in rural areas, captured 117,000 tons of carbon dioxide equivalent per year, similar to the emissions of 785 million kilometers of traveling per year, and to improve productivity and management of 2,000 small farmers. According to him, the two programs will be implemented by the Indonesian agency, the Millennium Challenge Account Indonesia. In addition to the projects, the United States, through the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, recently launched a new project to overcome climate change and supporting Indonesia's effort to lowering emission by 29% in 2030. USAID will invite Indonesia to help protecting and sustainably managing 8.4 hectares forest and peatland as carbon absorption. USAID will help to remove 4.5 tons greenhouse emission and make use $800 million came from the private sector investment in clean energy for 5 million citizens. USAID will also help to protect local people from impact of extremely climate change by helping the government and regional government to implement strategies to be adapted toward climate effectively. According to the U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, the program is a reflection to U.S. commitment to cooperate with Indonesia to fight against the cause of climate change, as well as to help Indonesia to achieve its target to lowering emission in the future. That was Voy Green.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today, February 3, 2016. We begin the headlines with Kompas, which wrote, "Global emergency in facing Zika virus attack." World Health Organization, on February 1, 2016, announced global emergency status in facing the Zika virus attack. The status was applied due to the virus' quick spread and significant amount to the microcephalus cases, where the babies are born with brain development disorder due to the Zika virus infection. Since October 2015 in Brazil, there are around 4,000 microcephalus cases. Although no scientific evidence has proven that Zika virus was the cause, World Health Organization, based on recommendation from independent experts, decided global emergency status. World Health Organization General Director Margaret Chan said the Zika virus spread was an extraordinary event and suggested coordinated responses. Deputy Director of Eijkman Institute for Molecular Biology, Herawati Sudoyo in Jakarta, February 2nd said, according to the global agenda, the institute must respond to warning from World Health Organization through prevention and early detection. Herawati added, Zika virus had been confirmed to enter Indonesia. Therefore, the urgent response is systematic surveillance. Until now, Indonesia is yet to have big picture of the virus attack. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia wrote, "Don't keep vandalistic mass organization." The recent clash between two mass organizations in Medan, North Sumatra, disturbed the people. Executive Director of Regional Autonomy Watch, Robert Andy Jawing, said mass organization should not take nation's role by controlling a region. Previously, two mass organizations, namely Ikatan Pemuda Karya and Pemuda Pancasila, clashed in Medan since last week. Robert urged the government to control those organizations so that they will not act as law enforcer. Vandalistic mass organizations, according to him, should not be kept. Regarding to the issue, General Director of Politic and General Government of Ministry of Home Affairs, Sudarmo, said, vandalistic action and extortion are crime. Sudarmo added, Home Affairs Ministry does not tolerate any disturbing action, especially extortion. Sudarmo also said written warning had been sent to two mass organizations. We continue with Republika, market operation often abused. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama or AHOK said, market operation lacks of supervision from the central government. Hence, the market operation is often abused by traders and people. For instance, the staple foods will be piled up and not sold directly after market operation. Therefore, AHOK prepared non-cash payment to prevent the market operation abuse, making the certain price can be known. Listener, we end today's headline with Sindo, which wrote, Receiving gratification, doctor will be convicted. Corruption and Education Commission or KPK warned all doctors with civil servant status or private ones who work in the government hospital to refuse gratification from pharmacy companies. Otherwise, they will be convicted. The warning was conveyed by KPK during a focus group discussion with the Health Ministry, Indonesian Pharmacy Company Union, Indonesian Doctor Council, Food and Drug Monitoring, and hospital representatives. KPK Prevention Deputy Pahala Nenggolan said, the sponsorship for doctors is feared to be gratification because it is related to position and authority for civil servant doctors. Therefore, the civil servant doctor must report to KPK whether the gratification belongs to the country or the involved doctor. After that, KPK has 30 days to study the gratification report. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Minister of Manpower M. Hanif Dakiri will summon a number of companies and verify if they indeed have any plans to lay off thousands of workers in the near future. The Minister for Manpower was not yet able to provide clarifications regarding plans to lay off workers of the energy companies Chevron, electronic firms Panasonic and Toshiba, and the automotive company Ford. Chairman of the Indonesian Association of General Medicine, Jakarta, Dr. Arif Fahri Alsyam, on Wednesday in Jakarta urged Indonesian people to increase awareness on Aedes aegypti mosquito spread. It was stated related to Zika virus outbreak hit some regions in America recently. Meanwhile, the Health Ministry spokesperson Oscar Primadi said on Tuesday, Indonesian government will impose alert status for Zika virus. According to Oscar, the government imposes alert status because there has been no case of Zika virus in Indonesia that causes death. There was one patient infected by Zika virus in 2014 in Jambi, but the patient recovered. Indonesia's Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology claimed in Jakarta on Tuesday that the Zika virus infection, which has spread rapidly in Latin America, was yet to be identified clearly in the archipelago. According to the agency's deputy head of the Agro-Industrial Technology and Biotechnology Division, Enia Listiana Dewi, the most common symptoms of the Zika virus infection are similar to those of malaria and the Aedes aegypti caused dengue fever. The Financial Services Authority will soon issue a regulation on foreign ownership in the country's insurance industry as mandated by a revised law on insurance. OJK Commissioner for the Non-Banking Financial Industry Firdaus Jalani said in Jakarta, the upcoming government regulation would stipulate details about foreign ownership of insurance firms, which was unspecified in the 2014 law on insurance business that revised previous legislation. Indonesia's food tourism industry rose faster than the global average of 4.4% last year.
It was said by President Joko Widodo when opening a limited meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta to discuss a plan to develop Lake Toba as one of the country's main tourist destinations. Indonesia, the world's largest palm oil producer, has voiced out against a plan by the French government to impose progressive import taxes for palm oil starting from 2017, citing the move to be discriminating and unreasonable, a top government official has said. According to Arif Hafaz Ogroseno, a deputy in charge of maritime sovereignty at the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Natural Resources, the French Senate approved a biodiversity bill on January 21st that included a palm oil tax hike of 300 euros per ton in 2017 from what's currently 103 euros per ton, which would later increase annually to reach 900 euros per ton by 2020. That was news in brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Kampung Lawas Maspati Village in East Java Province, so stay tuned. Listeners, on 24 January 2016, Lawas Maspati Hamlet in East Java Province was inaugurated as a tourism hamlet by Surabaya Mayor Tri Risma Harini and Director of Human Resources and Public of PT Pelabuhan Indonesia 3 or Pelindo 3, Toto Heli Yanto. Lawas Maspati Hamlet presents Surabaya history in the colonial era. Historical buildings, which are still maintained until now, have become interesting attractions of this hamlet. The inauguration of the tourism hamlet was supported by Pelindo 3. Pelindo 3 actively promotes this hamlet to international cruises, which dock at Gapura Surya Nusantara, Tanjung Perak Seaport, to visit Lawas Maspati Hamlet. Listeners, Lawas Maspati Hamlet is located at Bubutan Village, Bubutan Subdistrict, Surabaya, East Java Province. This hamlet is occupied by 350 families. Most of them are former Indonesian fighters participating in the 10th November battle which occurred in Surabaya in 1945. Therefore, there are many old buildings which still stand firmly and are now inhabited by descendants of the fighters. One of the houses belongs to Raden Sumomiharjo, a figure of Surabaya Palace and familiarly called Ndoro Mantri. There is also Ongko Loro School, or secondary school, which was an elementary school with 3 years educational terms and spread throughout the village. The aim of the education was only to eradicate illiteracy and to improve counting ability. The teaching method uses local language. Besides that, there is also army headquarters, which was built in 1907, and a number of punden or secret places and historical stuff which have still been kept by the independent fighters at Lawas Mas Pati Hamlet until now. Listeners, the residents of at Lawas Mas Pati Hamlet provide special tourism package for weekend. A tourist group, which consists of 15 persons, must pay around 2 million rupiah per package for complete visiting package. They also provide package for 1%. They are for villagers who are ready to be tourist guides. At this hamlet, you can go down the alleys, which cannot be gone through by cars, while witnessing historical buildings. Not only that, you can also see residents' activities, such as wash recycling process and the process of treating wash water. You can also learn to make several products in the village, such as passion fruit syrup or grass jelly drink. Lawas Mas Pati residents have some superior products such as passion syrups, gas jelly traditional drinks, and various handicrafts, souvenirs, until clothes. You can buy the as souvenirs. Listeners, the inauguration of Lawas Mas Pati Tourism Hamlet also marked Lawas Mas Pati Hamlet Festival 2016, which was independently held by the local residents. This festival was enlivened by various interesting activities, such as traditional games, typical food, as well as historical trails of ancient houses. Besides that, there are also petrol traditional musical group where Mas Pati kids sang songs accompanied by simple instruments such as galon and cake. At night, the local residents and tourists are entertained by keroncong music and luduk performances. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you to Indonesian vocabulary and idioms, as well as their use in conversation. Today's topic is pergi memancing, or in English, going fishing. First, I will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and idioms related to today's topic. I will say them twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Hari ini, hari ini. In English, today. Pergi memancing, pergi memancing. In English, to go fishing. Maaf, maaf. In English, sorry. Mengantar, mengantar. In English, accompany. Anak perempuan, anak perempuan. In English, daughter. Lomba matematika, lomba matematika. In English, math competition. Sekolah, sekolah. In English, school. Minggu depan, Minggu depan. In English, next week. Ikut, ikut. In English, to join. Mudah-mudahan, mudah-mudahan. In English, hopefully. Rabu, Rabu. In English, Wednesday. Jemput, jemput. In English, to pick up. Di rumah, di rumah. In English, at home. Listener, next is a conversation example between Budi or A and Rudy or B. I will say them twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Hai Rudy, hari ini aku akan pergi memancing. Hai Rudy, hari ini aku akan pergi memancing. In English. Hai Rudy, today I will go fishing. Apakah kamu mau ikut? Apakah kamu mau ikut? In English, would you like to join? B. Maaf, aku tidak bisa. Maaf, aku tidak bisa. In English, I'm sorry, I cannot. Hari ini, aku akan mengantar anak perempuanku lomba matematika di sekolah. Hari ini, aku akan mengantar anak perempuanku lomba matematika di sekolah. In English, today I will accompany my daughter to a math competition at school. A. Bagaimana kalau minggu depan? Bagaimana kalau minggu depan? In English, how about next week? Apakah kamu bisa ikut? Apakah kamu bisa ikut? In English, will you join me? B. Ya, mudah-mudahan aku bisa ikut. Ya, mudah-mudahan aku bisa ikut. In English, hopefully I can. A. Baiklah, Rabu minggu depan kamu saya jemput di rumah. Baiklah, Rabu minggu depan kamu saya jemput di rumah. In English, alright, I will pick you up at home next Wednesday. B. Baik, saya tunggu. Baik, saya tunggu. In English? Okay, I will wait. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you to a singer, January Christie, who presents in the Indonesian pop music industry. Well, listener, to initiate today's music corner, let's listen to the coming song entitled Melayang by January Christie. Enjoy the song.
imanmu, korban kau melut diri. Tak tahu apa yang kau cari. Semua tak pasti. Gerak suaramu yang tak tentu arah. Tak tahu apa yang kau cari. Semua tak pasti. Melayang, pikiranmu melayang. Melayang, hayalanmu melayang jauh. Melayang, tanganmu melayang. Terbawa asa niwana, sekejap tenggelam. Karismamu menghilang. Tak tahu apa yang terjadi. Semua tak pasti. Melayang, pikiranmu melayang. Melayang, hayalanmu melayang jauh. Melayang, tanganmu melayang. Terbawa asa dewara.
Listener January Christie is a jazzy singer who ever made hits with her song compositions. With a very unique vocal, a heavy timbre, and distinctive character makes January Christie immediately soared when she launched its first album, Melayang. Continuing the success of her first album, she released the album Aku Ini Punya Siapa with the same formula with her first album. The album also managed to take attention of music lovers and is able to continue the success of her previous album. Other hits from the album entitled Masa Masa and Cinta Dini. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Aku Ini Punya Siapa. Happy listening.
Susah
kaca bermata liar seringkali memalukan. Dibuatnya aku tiada berharga. Mau marah percuma, paling hanya menelan ludah. Daripada naik darah, kuputuskan saja tali cintanya. Untung saja seluruh diriku dapat ku jaga utuh. Sejak ku cinta dia hingga kini berpisah. Oh syukur tiada ternoda. Aduh aduh pisang gila, punya pacar berhati dua. Aku ini punya siapa? Putuskan saja tali cintanya. Saja seluruh diriku dapat ku jaga utuh. Sejak ku cinta dia hingga kini berpisah. Oh syukur tiada ternoda. Aduh aduh pisah gila, punya pacar berhati dua. Aku ini punya siapa? Putuskan saja tali cintanya. Kuputuskan saja tali cintanya. Kuputuskan saja tali cintanya.
The Color of Music presented by January Christie was successfully accepted by music lovers in the country. The jazzy songs to be hit and became the top of the music charts on the private radio stations, but it's a pity her gate in the music world stopped by bad habits, so that her career began to dim, then stack until nowadays. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Kepastian and Kucoba, by January Christie. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Bayangmu seakan tak dapat tercapai. Tangan semakin jauh di dalam tangan. Kau berlari jauh tak kuasa. Jawaban kepastian darimu aku semakin ragu. Oh, banyak rintangan yang kita lalui.
Bila tiada mungkin ku akan terima semua yang telah dipastikan oleh Tuhan yang kuasa. Aku relakan jiwa Oh, banyak rintangan yang kita lalui dalam menempuh cita untuk bersatu. Akankah cintaku, oh, banyak rintangan yang kita lalui dalam menempuh cita untuk bersatu. Akankah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.